Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
I want to begin a series today entitled, Behold His Glory. Behold His glory. We're going into Christmas season, and this is a scripture that I believe that Lord just highlighted to me this past week in looking at John chapter 1, verse 14. And the scripture he pointed out to me was about Jesus, who became flesh, and it says, and we beheld His glory. The Apostle John said that. And so we are beholding the glory of God. And this disciple, John, the one who leaned upon Jesus' breast, wrote this scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, we beheld the life of God that took on a human form in a human body. We beheld it. And if you look over in 1 John, he also wrote that. And John says there, we not only saw Him, we heard Him ourselves, our ears heard His voice, our hands actually touched Him, we ate with Him, we lived with Him, we slept on the ground in places with Him, we walked and talked with Him, we touched His body, we saw the very life of God take on a human body form. And we are so excited about this that this is the purpose for why we're writing this epistle to you, because of the fellowship and the experience that we have had with God, with Jesus, God in the flesh. We want that same thing to happen in your life. We want you to have the same experience that we had. We saw Him. We touched Him. We heard Him. We had fellowship with Him. We walked and talked with Him, the Creator of the universe, the great I Am, in a physical body. We saw this. We beheld, say it with me, His glory. We beheld Him, the great I Am, the Creator of the universe. And we wrote this so that you could have the same experience. At 19 years old, when a young man shared the gospel with me in a way that I'd never understood before, it was like my eyes were opened. For the first time, I beheld His glory. I saw the plan of God. I understood all these little fragments of the gospel that I had in my life planted over the years. Finally, it came together at one point, and it was like a light bulb turned on. And I saw the glory of God, the plan of God, the salvation of God, that God became Jesus. And it had to be Jesus, God in the flesh, to die on the cross to bridge the gap between God and man. Yes. Yes. It was as if that old picture you've seen around many times where, you know, the hand of God is reaching out with a finger and reaching over here, and man reaching up and touching the finger of God. And at that moment in my life when I prayed a prayer that I'd prayed many times before, but this time with faith and with understanding, this is the glory of God. And I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That spark of life started. God had always been reaching down to me, but finally I had enough faith and understanding to reach up to Him. And we met, and when I touched and He touched, the spark of life turned on. And I was born again of the Spirit of God. Didn't hear any bells, didn't see any angels, didn't have any signs or wonders or miracles. It was all by faith. But I knew something had happened. I had beheld the glory of God at that moment. I just didn't know what to do with it. But it was so good, I had to somehow communicate this glory of God that I experienced in my life. I had to communicate it to my fiance, Pam. I had to communicate it to my mom. I had to communicate it to my friends and my family. And I didn't know how. How can I give them what I have had? And I struggle with trying to communicate that. But it's like having something so good you cannot keep it to yourself. You have to somehow communicate that God is real. God is alive. He's not living in a church building somewhere. God is real. And if you know, if that's happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. That spark of life comes into you and you're alive to the things of God like you never were before. I've touched, I am. He's manifested himself to me, and I see the gospel for the first time. I understood that Jesus is God and he's alive. And I didn't know what it meant, but I was experiencing the glory of God. The way God intended man to experience the glory of God, that the life of God would come inside a human being, and something that was dead would now be turned on into life, and it would be the very life of God inside me. And we call that the glory. The glory of God, when you read about it in the Bible, simply is this: the manifestation of the great I am. It's the manifestation of God, the King of the universe, the Creator of all things. That's what the glory is. God intended that His manifestation of His glory would reside in human beings. In the book of the Genesis, the Bible says that God created, in the first 5 days, He created the heavens and the earth, everything that exists in it out of nothing. God created the animals, the trees, the dirt. He created flowers. He created fragrances. He created the minerals. He created the jewels. He created everything that there is that could be created. God created it in 5 days. And why did God create it? Because God is a creator. He's a builder. And He has to manifest His glory. So creation was designed. The reason God created was He wants to manifest His glory. He's a creator. He's an artist. He's a painter. He's a musician. He created sights and sounds and everything in the world that we could wonder at, from insects to birds and fish in the sea and all the great mammals and all those things. He did that just to manifest His glory. And in 5 days, everything that God created, the animal kingdom and the world and space and the stars and the planets and everything there is created, in all of that God created, it still didn't fully manifest the glory of God. Because the glory of God is beyond that. He created time, and time could not contain the glory of God. If it were possible that eternity had a length that it could only go so far, then the glory of God would go beyond that. Let that blow your fuses. It's impossible for creation to contain all the glory of God. It only partially declares the glory of God. The heavens, the stars, the planets, all of that. They say that the universe is ever expanding. You want to know why? Because it cannot contain the glory of God. It's ever expanding. And God intended for creation to some way display His glory. The angels, all of that were in marvel. And still, that wasn't enough. So God created the very thing that would be the apex or the climax of His creation, the ultimate of His creation. He was going to create a man in His image, in His likeness, with His nature. God was going to create a human being. Out of all of creation, this would be the top. And this would be how God would display His ultimate glory through a human being. Adam and Eve. They were the containers of the glory of God in His likeness, in His image. Nothing else was like that in all of creation. And all of this was to display the glory of God throughout the universe, the ever-expanding universe. Adam and Eve, the glory of God. And some say that there was a brightness, a shining, a light upon Adam and Eve that was the glory of God. And that's why they didn't even see their nakedness, or they weren't even concerned about that, obviously, of course, because of the glory of God was upon them. The shine, the glory, the light, the weight of God's presence. And so with all of this now, man is the container, the ultimate of God's creation to display the glory of God throughout the universe. This was God's plan. Mankind would be the ultimate manifestation of the glory of God. In fact, Psalm 90 verse 17 bears this out. In Psalm 90 verse 17 it says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hand." The beauty, the glory of God is to be upon human beings. It's partially in creation. We also see back in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we see that God said in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, that all of creation was to display the glory of God. That was the purpose of it. Can you bring up Romans chapter 1, verse 28 there for me? It took all of creation. But all of creation failed to ultimately display the glory of God. All of creation, the heavens and the earth, it was to display His glory, that there is a God. Creation is evidence there must be a creator. Just as this building is evidence there had to be a builder. Your automobile, that there had to be a manufacturer. Your body, fearfully and wonderfully made, there had to be a creator. And creation is to display the glory of God. But all of that, all of the beauty of creation, it was distorted by sin. It was distorted. Before sin, the glory of God was throughout perfect earth. Perfect atmosphere, perfect water. There were no thorns or no thistles. There was no death of any kind whatsoever. The earth displayed the glory of God. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, displayed the glory of God. But sin entered, and you know the story. Through a talking snake, man was deceived, and he believed that somehow God was holding out on him, and sin entered our story, and it distorted everything. It distorted creation. Creation itself has now been distorted. Now, even though sin is powerful, it's not more powerful than God. Amen. And even though sin has distorted our creation, you still see the glory of God in creation. The mountains, the wonder, the stars, you still see it there, but it was not like it was in the original. But it's still there. It's still there. And our very purpose, our purpose as human beings originally was to manifest or display the glory of God. That's our purpose. You want to know why we are here? What's the purpose of the world? What's the purpose of people? It's to display the glory of God. Even though sin has entered, God is not done with this. He still has a plan. He still had a rescue in mind. So as a human being, you've got to realize you were created for the primary purpose to display the glory of God. If you misuse your purpose, if you try to go to another purpose rather than the original purpose, that will be the source of all your sorrow and trouble because you're missing the main thing. The main reason you are here is to display the glory of God through your life, some way, somehow. and to misuse or bypass that purpose to chase after some human dream or to chase after a dollar or chase after what you think is security or fame or fortune or whatever that may be, is to misuse your purpose and abuse your purpose. You know, I have a watch here, and if I need to drive a nail into a piece of wood and I don't have a hammer and I take my watch and use it to try to drive that nail in, I may succeed, but I will abuse the watch. That's not the purpose of a watch. When you leave here today and you drive out of here and you come to a stoplight, the stoplight there is to protect you. It's not there to abuse you. It's not there to torment you. So when you come to a green light and you stop instead of go, you are defeating the purpose of that stoplight. You're going to cause yourself frustration and everybody else around you. Welcome to the Villages. And if you take something that has a purpose and you misuse it for a wrong purpose, that's called abuse. Your life's purpose is to display the glory of God. And if you abuse that purpose or misuse that purpose, you're defeating the purpose. You're not going to feel fulfillment or satisfaction. You can abuse your wife, you can abuse your children, you can abuse your car, you can abuse money, you can abuse your health. All these things are intended to be blessings to you, but if you don't use them according to the original purpose and design, you're abusing them. Are you with me? So God has a purpose, and that is for us, you and I, to display the glory of God. And even creation, and even man in his fallen state, still partially displays the glory of God. Even sin cannot stop the glory of God partially from coming through, even in a sinful estate. Look at with me in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. And here we see that the Bible says creation itself was subject to futility in hope that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Everything here on earth gets corrupted. Your gold, your silver, your clothing, nothing here lasts forever. It's subjected to futility because sin has entered the world. And God has subjected it to futility to help us realize this is not our home forever. Hallelujah for that. Amen. So God has a remedy, though. And the remedy was very simple. God saw that there was not a man anywhere on the earth that would be that was without sin. And so God himself said, I'm going to have to do this on my own. So God put on an earth suit. We call him Jesus, God in the flesh. And he came down to earth to remedy the situation that the first Adam ruined, to display the glory of God and to fulfill all that God intended for us to do. And we call this beginning of the story Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the place where Jesus was born. God born in flesh. Bethlehem simply means the house of bread. Didn't Jesus say, I'm the bread of life? Yeah. When you go to communion, you partake of the bread. He said, take this, is eat this. This is my body. He's the bread of life. And so he presented all kinds of signs and wonders in the earth to manifest that God himself has become a man. In fact, when you look at Bethlehem, you have to realize one thing. God is with us. That's what Bethlehem means. God is with us. Emmanuel. God has become one of us. He knows what it's like to be a human. And he came down into a sinful world, and yet without sin, he came here because he wanted to be with us. And then you look at Calvary, Jesus upon the cross, and you realize something about God you didn't know. Not only is God with us in human form, but God is for us. Jesus died for us. He's for us. He's not against us. And then you look at Pentecost, encapsulating the whole gospel. The Holy Spirit, Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came down, and Pentecost represents God in us. So that's God's plan. And the remedy came about all because of Jesus, God in an earth suit, coming to earth at a time we call Christmas. And his plan is still on. His plan hasn't changed. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. God's plan is very clear. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. He wants to bring many sons to glory. Not just one son, Jesus, but many sons to glory. God still wants human beings to display the glory of God on the earth. Not just Jesus, but many sons. He is the Son. And yet, when we're born again, we become sons of God. Are you understanding? Y'all need to breathe a little louder. So the plan is still on. Everybody say with me, God's plan is still on. Even though it has been thwarted by sin, it didn't stop God. You think God didn't see that coming? He knew it was going to happen, and he already had a plan. In fact, he prophesied in the Old Testament to prophets who didn't fully see everything, but they saw a glimpse of the future that is even not yet the future, when there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Look what he said in the book of Habakkuk, to the prophet Habakkuk. To the prophet Habakkuk, he said that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of what? As the waters cover the sea. In other words, the whole earth is going to see the glory of God one day. It doesn't right now, but there will be a time the whole earth will see it. And then he said in Isaiah, to the prophet Isaiah, he said in Isaiah chapter 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Come on, say it with me. The whole earth. That is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. Then the prophet Ezekiel, God made a declaration there through the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 4. Behold, the glory of God of Israel, the great I am. Come on and say it with me. And the earth. One day this earth will glow with the glory of God. Not the glory of just the Son, but the Son of God. The whole earth will be filled with the glory. That's God's plan. It's bigger than any of us ever have realized. So his plan is still on. To behold his glory, to manifest the creator of the universe. So things have got to change. Even in the Old Testament, the prophet Moses was so enthralled by God as he encountered God. He said, God, I pray, show me your glory. Would you show me your glory? I'm fully understanding that even Moses didn't fully comprehend all that he was asking. It would be impossible for God to give Moses the fullness or let him experience the fullness of glory. But God understood Moses' heart. And God said to Moses, well, I will on certain conditions. Here's what's going to have to happen, because nobody can see God and live. Your flesh would perish in its condition to see my glory. It is so great. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you over here inside the cleft of this rock. I'm going to cover you there with my hand, and all my goodness is going to pass before you. And then I'll remove my hand, and you'll see my backside. Now, God is a spirit and doesn't have a body except for Jesus. So this is a metaphor or personification of somehow a mystery that we don't fully understand, where Moses was able to see the backside of God. Everybody say the backside. Not the front side, but Moses could only see a glimpse of God and live. Only a glimpse of the glory of God and live. And so after this, Moses came up on a mountain, and he spent 40 days with God. 40 days alone with God. And there the scripture says, he did not eat nor drink a thing. When you have the life of God in you, as Moses was experiencing on that mountain, you don't need to eat or drink or go to the bathroom or anything. Can you imagine? Moses, for 40 days, was alone with God. Why? Because there, God was teaching Moses the law of God. The law of God is the nature of God or the perfection of God. The law of God is perfect. And so for 40 days, Moses was taught by God himself the law of God because he had to come back and teach it to the people. And so when Moses came down off that mountain after 40 days, the scripture says his face shone with the brightness of light. He didn't even realize it. And the people saw him and said, "My goodness, your face is glowing. Oh my goodness." And so his face shone with the glory of God for being in the presence of God, being taught by God, and getting a glimpse of the backside of God. And then Moses put a veil over his face because day by day, being back down in this corrupted world, the glory began to diminish. He didn't want people to think that he's doing something wrong or whatever, and that the glory had departed from him. But little by little, the glory began to depart. But he was like radioactive. His body just shone with the glory of God. Do you know that's what God intends for you and I to have to some degree here in this earth in a dark place? Look at the scriptures again, Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon who? Who's us? Us, the believers, God's people. Let the beauty or the glory or the light of God be upon us. As Moses in the Old Testament had a glimpse of the glory, the backside of God, and his face shone, we are to show the beauty of the glory of God. It's what we pray. Rabbi Bruce prays this for us very often. Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing. The Lord make, come on, say it with me, his face shine upon you. Does God really mean that, or is that just poetic language? He really means it. His face is to shine upon you. And then when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples in Matthew 5, 16, 17, he said, let your light so shine that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. So the church is to contain and carry the glory of God in the earth right now until the ultimate day when the whole earth will shine with his glory. You're the light. Tag, you're it. It's your time to shine. The glory of God has come upon you. You are to behold the glory of God and manifest that. But unfortunately, in so many cases, Satan has come along and flipped the switch off and shut out the lights. No, no, no. Put that out. Put that out. Stop shining. Stop showing off. Stop, stop. Shut out the lights. And many believers have allowed him to do it. And yet you are the only thing of all creation that is to display the glory or the light of God. Creation can only display it to a certain point. You are the ultimate. That's the reason you're here. It is to display the glory of God. Romans 8:22, creation even realizes this. Rocks somehow realize this. The sand, the dirt, the flowers, the trees, all of creation groans and travails in pain together. Even now, they know the futility. We are not what we were created to be yet. We have not reached the place of where we're supposed to be to manifest the glory of God. Even all of creation realizes there's something that's missing. And mankind realizes it too. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory. We were intended to carry the glory. We're to display the glory of God to the world. And we yet know within ourselves, as creation knows within itself, we have fallen short of doing what we were created to do. And there's a futility that God designed for creation to hold, a futility in man, a frustration that man is to experience while they're here, that without God, without God's remedy, there's no way we can fulfill the purpose for which we were created to do. We'll keep failing and falling short of our divine purpose. And so God sent Jesus. God himself put on the earth suit, and he came to earth, born as a out of a virgin's womb, lived for 33 years on this earth, did signs and wonders to prove that he is God in the flesh. You would look at his flesh, and you would not see any difference than any other normal human being. Jesus didn't walk around with a halo over his head. He looked like us, because now it's going to require faith to believe. And so Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles to manifest that he is the great I am. If you look in the book of John, there are 7 I am statements that Jesus made, declaring that he is the great I am in the flesh. And the 7 I am statements are right there on the screen for you. 7 times Jesus boldly declared, and without misunderstanding, the Jews recognized that Jesus was declaring himself to be God. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. Amen. It was clear. In one particular place in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus was talking to the Jews there. And here's God in the flesh right before him, right before them, and they don't recognize him. And he says to them, "You will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he." If you look in your Bible, the word he is in italics, meaning it was not there in the original. Jesus was saying, "You'll die in your sins if you don't believe I'm the great I am. You'll die in your sins if you don't believe that I'm the great I am." So God sent a rescue. He sent a remedy to restore the glory into our lives. And that we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the one that when he died on the cross, he was not just a man. He wasn't an angel. He was the great I am. And now we declare that he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's the resurrection and the life. We'll die in our sins without believing that he is the great I am. This is the gospel. It's the good news. It was so what I was so mesmerized about when I first heard the gospel that I wanted everybody to know this. It's what the Apostle John was so mesmerized about and so infatuated with that he wanted everybody to know this. I want people to know him like I know him. I want you to know him like I know him. You must know him like I know him. And that's why Jesus came, to display the glory of God. And Jesus perfectly manifests the glory of God. If you want to see the glory of God, you look at Jesus. He is the perfect manifestation. So what's our part in all this? In John 8:24, the scripture makes it clear that our part is to understand who Jesus is. Bring up the scripture in John 8, verse 24, please, for me. And then we'll go to John chapter 1. But in John 8, 24, do you have that? Or I have to go there in my Bible. All right, there you go. "For unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins." not just believing in God, but believing that Jesus is God. See, people are so confused in the world today. They don't know the difference between what true Christianity is and from these other forms of false religion. They don't know that Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses are not just those pesky people who come knocking on your door every Saturday. They're the people who don't believe that Jesus and Jehovah are the same one. That Jesus had to be the one to die on the cross for you. God Himself had to be the one to die on the cross for you. They don't believe that. They believe Jesus is a created being. In the same way, a lot of people think Mormons, because at Christmas time, Mormons put on some great Christmas commercials that are really outstanding commercials. But what they don't tell you is that they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that He's a creation of God. And I'm sorry if this is your background and this is your understanding. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but any good shepherd's got to point out poison weed that people might be feeding on. That's the way it is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. If there had been any other way, He wouldn't have sent Jesus. It's the only way. And Mormons need to be saved. Jehovah's Witnesses need to be saved just as well as anybody else has never received the gospel. You were created to display the glory of God. And to do that, you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. You have to receive Jesus. There's no other way. In John chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Let's look at that up on the screen. For the law, now you could say it now since you have this revelation, the backside revelation of God, that's what Moses saw. Moses gave the law. So the law, the backside revelation of God, God's spine, God's the true nature of who He is, He's the law of God is perfect, was given through Moses. But grace and truth, which would be the face of God, came by Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only Son, who's at the Father's right hand, has made Him known. If you were living in Moses' time, all you would get would have been the law of God that you would not be able to keep. But since Jesus came and we have the new covenant, you've seen the face of God, full of grace and truth, who came to rescue us from the law that we could not keep. He fulfilled and He kept Himself. So you could see that Moses' revelation was God's back. The law. The law is perfect. The only problem is there's no man that can keep it. That's right. And Jesus is God's face, grace and truth. So you come into a new covenant, not based on your performance, but based upon what Jesus did. And when He died on the cross, He said these words, "It is finished." Literally, He meant it is paid in full. You don't add anything to it. You don't add your good works to it. You don't add your performance to it. It's not based upon you. It's all based upon what He did. It's finished. It's paid for. That's why it's good news. That's what the world needs to hear. The world hears distorted versions of the gospel. They hear false gospels. They hear false. They have false religion. And they need to hear the truth. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Scripture says this, the Word, Jesus, became flesh, and we what? And so have you. You have beheld His glory. You know the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is to be in you. It's possible today that you've come to church, and maybe you've been in church most of your life, but it's possible that you could go to church and never have been born again. Amen. It's possible. Jesus said, made it very clear in John chapter 3, speaking to a Jewish rabbi, He said to him, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's in the Bible. That's Jesus' very words. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Not by you being a good person, not even you believing in God is enough. The Bible said demons in hell believe and they tremble. They know. So it's not just mental assent. This belief is putting your trust in and calling upon the name of the Lord to come live inside you with His Holy Spirit to be your Lord, your God, and your Savior. See, it's possible you go to church and never have heard that. It's possible. And so that's why I never take for granted that I'm talking to everybody here who's saved. Like when we all get to heaven, because we all may not be going. There has to be a time that you personally settle this issue once and for all. And you are born again the way Jesus said, by the Spirit of God. Not by religion. Not by being baptized. Not by joining the church. Not by trying to do better. But by receiving the gift of God, the Son, the only way whereby you could ever be saved. The only way. There is no other way. And anybody who's going to be in heaven has to come the same way. There's only one door. His name is Jesus. And so I say this with all sincerity and respect for you, but I will not feign to tell you that you must be born again. And right now, this may be somebody's moment. And so if you're not sure about that, you never settled that issue, let's do business right now. It's that serious. I'm going to ask you to bow your head in reverence. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and block out everybody else in this room. And just imagine that you and God are alone in this room. And God is using my voice to coach you and help you for once and for all settle this issue. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that is, that He's alive right now. He's not dead. He's alive. And you confess with your mouth to Him that Jesus is now your Lord and your Savior. God says you'll be saved. Now I say that with all authority of heaven and earth because that's God's word. So that means you must be born God's way by His Spirit. It happens like this. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me right now and settle this issue. God is listening. God loves you. He brought you here today so you could receive the gift of salvation. When we pray, we just talk to God. I'm going to ask you to pray with your mouth because the Bible says you confess with your mouth. I'm going to ask you to say some words to God. These words, out loud, at least loud enough where you can hear yourself. Say these words to God. Oh God, I do believe in you. Make sure you're saying it out loud to yourself so you can hear. God hears. God, I do believe in you. I know I have failed in so many areas of my life. I have sinned against you, against others, against myself. But today I've heard the gospel. You rescued me by sending the only Savior, the only one qualified to be the Savior, yourself in the flesh, who I call Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the purpose to rescue me and pay my penalty. And right now, this very moment, I put my faith in Jesus alone for salvation. I ask you to come into my life, live in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Right now, I open the door. Come on in, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior, as my God. Now display your glory. Now just soak in that for a moment. You're receiving the King of the universe. This was His original plan, to forgive all your sin, to live inside you. And from here on forever, you and Him together, living as Father and child. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now just tell Him thank you. Tell Him thank you. I believe, I thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming in my life today. Today's my birthday. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, look at me just for a moment. Somebody had to do that for me, had to walk me through it, because I've been baptized 3 times and I thought I was saved. Somebody had to actually walk me through it like I just did you and help me realize I needed to personally receive Jesus like you do a Christmas gift. Thank you. I believe. I receive. Thank you. And that's when things began to change in my life for the better. And then I went home and I wanted to tell people about it. I began to notice changes. I still had to deal with the flesh, had to still deal with the world and temptation, but things began to change for the better. And then there came a time, an opportunity where I realized, you know, I need to let this be known to the whole world publicly, unashamed. And I remember in those days they gave invitations where they'd invite people to come forward. And just by standing up here, they were saying, here's one who's received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I did that, not once, but several times. And I want to give maybe you an opportunity, because there's possibly somebody here who needs that opportunity just to stand up here with me and say, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer with you. And I asked Jesus, and I believe He came into my life to be my Lord. And I say, I'm born again today. Today is my birthday. Today is it. And it does something psychologically to you, because before you get out to the car, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, the devil's going to try to talk you out of it 10 ways before you get to your car. So you need to solidify this thing. And Jesus said it this way, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So there's a good evidence, a good reason to do that publicly. So while everybody's sitting, and before we do any formal invitation type thing, if you prayed that prayer today and you know in your heart, today is my birthday. Today I finally got it right. I'm born again. I'm born again today. Would you just please stand up and just come up here and just stand with me? You don't have to say a word. Just as evidence between you and God and the whole universe, you're displaying the glory of God. You've been born again today. Today was your day. I'm standing here. If that's you, just get up and come and stand with me. I'd just like to know. Come right now. Thank you, dear. Others, just come. This is for you. It's not for me. Yeah, we celebrate you. Praise God. Awesome, dear. Awesome. Praise God. Yeah, good, good. God bless you. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Anybody else? This is it. I need to solidify this today. I'm settling this issue today. Well, God bless you, John. God bless you. Wonderful. It didn't hurt, did it? Didn't hurt. Actually, it feels good, because you did something you're not going to forget. So I'd encourage you, do you have a Bible? Okay, you have a Bible? Okay. I'd encourage you to write down this date as your spiritual birthday. Because Satan will come back around and try to say, nah, you ain't saved. Well, yes, I am. What do you have to do to be saved? I had to put my faith and trust in Jesus. I confessed Him before men. Look at all this. You confess Christ before all these people. I wouldn't say you're afraid one bit. You're pretty bold. There are probably others that wish they could do what you do. Amen. Now, the church is going to be praying for you. You see these faces, pray for them. that they'll display the glory of God. Now, I'd encourage you, come talk to me about baptism. Well, I was baptized. Well, if you weren't born again, it wasn't believer's baptism. It was child baptism or something. Ask me how I know. I was baptized 3 or 4 times at least. So you finally get it in God's order. You do things right. And that's the next thing that God commands you to do, is be obedient through baptism. Amen. Amen. Well, I would like to just ask, would you folks just sit right over there? I'm going to ask our elders in a moment to come up and just pray with you. Sit right over there. God bless you. God bless your courage. Everybody else, you're saying, I'm born again. Well, I believe you if you're telling me that. I take you at your word. But here's the thing. You're born again, but are you fulfilling your purpose? Your purpose is to display the glory. People who may never come to church need to see Jesus in your eyes, on your face, in your touch, in your love, in your service. Say amen, because that means I agree. Yeah. I want to ask our elders to go over and just begin to pray, prophesy, minister. Barbara, would you join them as well, too? Just pray over them and prophesy however the Lord gives you. Just bless them, encourage them in the Lord. Now, everybody else stand. Display the glory. Behold the glory of God. As Jesus told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In the same way, church, you should be saying the same thing. You should say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because His glory lives in me. Lift your hands for the blessing. Now, Father, I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, let the church say, amen. I agree. And display His glory wherever you go. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.